Well, as we begin to draw these threads together and think through some application, just as I said at the beginning, I want to give two lines of application here. Number one, to be thinking about Training Leaders International, but second of all, to be thinking about Emmanuel Bible Church and how you guys could be on mission as well. Often when we think of missions, we think about going where the gospel has not been named, a kind of Paul chapter 15 kind of mentality, and that's, we need that. It's amazing to me, just a few years ago, some sociological researchers found an entire people group up in the mountains of Mexico that had their own distinct culture and language. Nobody knew they existed. Guess what? We ought to be figuring out how to get a missionary there, right? I mean, isn't that what Jesus called us to do? All nations doesn't mean physical, doesn't mean United States, Germany, whatever. It means people groups. So we need to be going, right? But sometimes people that do that front-end mission work make converts and not disciples. They get people to make a decision. They get people to say, yes, I want to be a follower of Jesus, but they don't ever teach them what that means and how to live their life. And so missionaries will come by later, or others will come by in those places, and pastors will ask questions like this. These are questions that pastors in South America asked American missionaries just a few years ago. When was Jesus saved, before or after his resurrection? Which woman was it that saved him? Is it okay for Christians to continue to worship the earth goddess? And here's my favorite. If I eat the flesh of another man, will I get his sins too? If a Christian pastor is asking those questions, we got a big problem. First of all, I'm not sure they're Christians. If you want to continue to venerate an earth goddess, a pagan deity, I'm not sure that you got it on the front end. And so what Training Leaders International does is come in on the back end and say, listen, here's what it means to be a disciple, specifically pastor. Here's what it means to be a follower of Christ. Here's what it means to read the scriptures and get understanding. Here's what it means to preach them to your people so that they can become mature disciples and they can be disciples who make disciples. I mean, I am all for unreached people emphasized missions. That's great. We need that. We must have it. Christ commands it. But we need also people to come in and strengthen up weak churches in reached areas so that they can begin reaching their communities. I mean, you think about this. Here's an amazing fact. Here's the mystery of God's providence and a sense of humor. 150 years ago, missionaries from the West went to South Korea with the gospel. Now, South Koreans are coming to America to evangelize us. That's beautiful, glorious gospel mission right there. Because we need missionaries as well, right? We think of ourselves as a rich nation, but guess what? Not everybody is a Christian. And some of our churches are pretty weak and meager and have embraced a false gospel, and they need the truth. And so here, what TLI does is go to these areas where there is no available training, where there is no teaching accessible to these pastors to learn with clarity the gospel message and how to interact with the Bible in ways that make sense and honor the Bible. So the way you read Proverbs is not the same way you read Paul's letter, which is not the same way you read Genesis, which is not the same way you read Revelation. Each of those different kinds of the Bible have different ways that you need to approach them. The same way you don't read a poem by Emily Dickinson, the same way that you listen to ESPN Sports News. Two different things. You approach them differently. And so that's what we are seeking to do, to lay a foundation of who God is, the one true God, and then here is how you interact with his word. You say, well, I'm still not convinced that it's such a needed thing. Think about this. In the United States, there is one trained pastor for about every 230 Christians. Outside the U.S., there's one trained pastor for every 450,000 Christians. They need training, desperately. If you think about just that, the 1040 window, the top there of North Africa and into India and it's Southeast Asia, 5 million pastors that not only don't have training, they don't have access to training. There's no Bible school there. There's no seminary. There's not even a healthy church where they can be mentored. So what's going to happen? Well, people like me, we're not the only group that does this, but I'm here. And we go into these places and we teach them who God is, and we teach them how to read and preach the Bible. And that's important because, again, it's not just a head knowledge thing. We're not trying to make them smarter. When I teach the Gospel of John, it's preaching the Gospel of John. How do you start with the text, understand the text, and then preach the text to your people so that they can be built up and matured as disciples? And so one of the things that we need are individuals, we need families, we need churches that will support us, especially with prayer, but also with finances. In order to make this happen, I want my kids to be able to eat. And we got to pay for plane tickets and all kinds of other things. And so I'd encourage you, if you have an interest in at least knowing more about our ministry, if not ready to sign your name on the dotted line for monthly support, grab some information on your way out. Fill out, there's just some real simple cards, put your name and your email or your phone number on there, and let's stay connected and in contact. You can sign up for our regular newsletter that goes out. And if you want to know more information about giving support, you can write that on there too. There's some directions about how to fill out the card. Think about how you can have a role in disciples making disciples, not just here, but around the world. But at the same time, we have to think about here. We have to think about what it looks like here. And so I want to go back to that story of Vikram that we told this morning. Perhaps you are gripped by that story. An atheist, violent terrorist who came to not only believe in God, but become an engaged disciple, pastor seeking training. But let me tell you, the real hero of that story was not Vikram. It was the lady who in obedience to God, fearlessly went to somebody else's room, another patient in the hospital that she didn't know, confronted them with the reality of death before a holy God, and pointed them to Christ by giving them a New Testament. Everybody in this room can do that. May not be in a hospital room, but everybody in this room can tell people the message that you believed. And if you can't articulate the gospel message that you believed, are you sure you believe the right thing? My goal is not to cast aspersions on your salvation, but there's at least an immaturity there. If you cannot explain to someone else the message that you're depending on about Jesus Christ for your salvation. And so the question is, how do you get started? Because once again, I said there is a fear factor, right? There's legitimate fear that we have of people rejecting us, of people making fun of us, of losing friends, family members. I know of people that never tell the gospel to their unsaved family members because they're afraid of losing the relationship. And I get that because I've lost relationships because of holding the line on the gospel. But here's my question. Aren't you more afraid of losing them forever in hell? I mean, if they hate you for the next 20 years, that's nothing if you get to be with them for all of eternity. If you plant a seed of the gospel and the relationship is destroyed, but someone else comes by and waters it, and somebody else comes, as Paul says, and they get the harvest, they share the gospel, and that person has faith, who cares if you're not friends in this life? You will be able to spend eternity together because they've trusted in Jesus. But how do you get started? I mean, God can do lots of things, but most people are not going to go out of here and at lunch grab their waitress and talk for 50 minutes about the gospel. We're just not going to do that. So here's what I would say. Everybody has lists today, right? I mean, if you're in school, you got a list of your assignments. If you work a job, you probably have a list of things that need to get done. If you're a husband, you might have a honey-do list of things you're supposed to get done at some point around your house. You may have a grocery list or whatever it is. Here's what I'm saying. Get a people list together, okay? Get a people list. So what's a people list? It's simple. Get one or two people that you know are not saved and you write their name down. Get one or two people that you think are really immature as believers. Not necessarily that they're like, flaunting sin or something, but just they don't know a whole lot about Christianity. They're not really engaged with church. They're not involved in ministry. Write their names down and then be thinking and praying about how to engage them. For those that are lost, be thinking about how do I move a conversation to the gospel? How do I just start talking about spiritual things? Good grief, you got the election cycle. I mean, how many more open doors could you possibly need? When people are talking about lying politicians and, corrupt things, you just throw off a thing and say, yeah, I'm looking for that leader who will always tell the truth and will always give justice. Say, yeah, who would that be? Well, his name's Jesus. I mean, you see how easy it is to flip a conversation like that? Now, maybe you don't start with Jesus. Maybe you just talk about, yeah, people are sinful. I think people are sinful. People are not basically good. People are sinful, and that's why we should expect to see lying, corrupt politicians as much as we don't like it. I mean, think about just the conversation that could go from that. Yeah, I think they are sinful. Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm sinful too. I have to give props to one of our Southern Baptist boys, Russ Moore. I don't know if you saw in the news, but Trump trashed him, said he was cold and heartless. And in an interview, someone said, what do you say about Donald Trump's allegation that you're cold and heartless? He goes, yeah, he's absolutely right, because I'm a sinner and I need salvation that's only found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Boom. Live television, CNN, with whatever the Silver Fox is guy. I can't think of his name now, but anyway. I mean, it's just, you're just looking for ways. And the thing is, write down some ideas. What are some common interests? Brainstorm, so that way when you're ready and you're interacting with this person at work or in your neighborhood, you're already prepped and primed. You're thinking about, okay, I'm going to talk about this person. And then when it comes to someone who's immature, set aside time, approach them and say, hey, listen, how about we sit and read the Bible for an hour and pray together every week, maybe every other week. I told the first service, I've seen more consistent growth in people who have found one other person or maybe two or three other people, and they've just got together consistently every week, opened the Bible, read about it, and prayed about what it said for one another for an hour than almost any other mechanism I've ever seen. Why? Well, we heard it earlier. Faith comes by hearing the word. And we are able to mutually encourage one another's faith. If you're involved in ministry and they're not, you should bring them alongside you. You should bring them alongside and say, hey, listen, what you think about getting involved in this. You know, if you know someone who teaches, for a living, but they don't teach in the church, figure out if they can come alongside you and shadow you as a teacher and launch them into a teaching ministry here. Why in the world would we take a giftedness and make money with it, but not invest in God's kingdom with it? Right? I mean, I can remember the first time I went on a hospital visit. I had no idea what to say to somebody. I mean, I was a punk 18-year-old. Who was just licensed by the Church for Gospel Ministry, so I had a nice clergy badge that got me in the hospital. But I don't know, no one ever told me what to do at a hospital visit. So I go in, and what's the first question? Hi, how do you feel? Wrong, don't start that way. They're in the hospital because they don't feel good, okay? You just assume that, all right? And so I went on hospital visits with some other people, some other pastors, and this is how you do it. You know, you're there to encourage them, you know? You read a passage of the Bible, you pray with them, you know? Bring some alongside, because part of discipleship is, again, making disciples. You're wanting to help give people practical skills and encouragement to continue investing in others that they might grow as disciples. So get together this people list, not as one more thing to do, but as a simple means of obeying Christ's command to be disciples who make disciples. All disciple making involves praying, giving, and going. Giving might be money, it might be time, might be who knows what. Going could be to the nations, it might just be next door. The question is, how faithful are we going to be in it? Jesus says that despite hardship, we ought to follow him with sacrifice and faithfulness as committed disciples, so that by preaching and through prayer, the saving message of the gospel will permeate our lives and the lives of those around us. Father, that's our prayer this morning. God, our prayer is that we would be found faithful, not only to the message that we have believed and to you as our King, as our Savior, but Father, with great joy, we would be a gospel-soaked people, delighting in the truths of that message for ourselves, but Father, also telling others about it. God, help us, some of us that are gripped even now by fear, to be bold. Give us a confidence and a courage, not in us, but in you and in the saving power of the gospel of Christ. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.